This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. So what does a brick wall look like? Well, your answer is going to depend on where you're standing when you describe it. From a few yards away, you see a pattern of red blocks sliced by white mortar. But up close, everything changes. Texture might be more evident than shapes and design. The Carrick Modern in Durham is currently hosting an exhibit called Tiny, Attention Exploded. It's on display now until May 11th, and it investigates how we look at the small and sometimes the microscopic. Chris Vidiello and CeCe Stevens join us now on the program to talk about the exhibit Tiny and their love of the miniature. Chris Vidiello, freelance writer and a poet in Durham and curator of Tiny. CeCe Stevens is a Durham-based artist. Her work is featured in the exhibit. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks, great to be here.
So, Chris, give me an idea about this exhibit, the idea behind it.
Well, the idea is sort of an idea. It's from the child part of me, I think. I like tiny things. I have kids who like tiny things, and we pick them up when we are walking in the woods or walking downtown, and we just sort of have developed a collection of little objects, little, you know, we save butterfly wings and cricket legs and coins and just anything we can get our hands on. And I realized that we have built these sort of, on the tops of bookshelves around our house, little natural history museums, basically, of all sorts of things in sample jars and whatnot. And I just thought, these are great. These collections are great. Thinking more about what attracted me to them, I just realized that I have so many models in the visual arts.
Well, and it's interesting, as you say it, it reminds us that our first instinct toward art is to become curators, right? Our little collections. And those collections have to be things we can hold, right? They can't be so big we have to hang them on the wall. So that's a great idea. CeCe, tell us about your work that's featured in this. You have a piece called Extra Small.
Right. Well, actually, Chris saw an exhibit that I curated in a tiny tabletop at Coco Cinnamon. It's an 18 by 18 inch square exhibit space, and asked if I would contribute something. And I thought, you know, I do have this tiny museum. The entire exhibit fits in a soap box. And then I thought, well, that would be really, it's interesting to me to look at. So maybe other people would be interested. And I asked him if I could use a windowsill. So my work is actually installed by pins into the wood along the window and on vials on top of the window frame. And
what does it look like?
It's tiny shells, tiny gears, parts of watches that have been taken apart, and then teeth, possum teeth and fox bones, and some very tiny chain. I'm trying to think, and springs.
Mm-hmm. How important is the arrangement of these things, the difference between a box full of these little items and items pinned carefully on a windowsill?
That's a good question, because I think that I'm trying to make it look interesting by a repetition of small objects, so that you might see a line that's 3 inches long, but it's made up of very tiny little parts. So the arrangement is to draw people's attention.
And what drew you to this tiny world in the first place?
Well, you know, I watched this whole scene, like a sci-fi movie, develop once in a pool in a rock in the middle of the Eno River. I was just sitting there and kind of looking down, and then realized, oh my God, there's like this huge scene under there with tiny little worms moving about, and then all of a sudden they scoot into these tunnels that are made of mud, and then along comes a big walking thing underwater. And I just thought, my God, there's like a whole world that is totally invisible to me if I just jumped that rock and gone to the next rock. So I think as an artist, like Chris was saying, I have a collection. I have many collections of things, and the smaller the better, because I get to keep them all. But
those shifts of scale, where you suddenly see into a tinier world, and you basically have to become an operator in that world in order to see it as a whole, in order to see it as a participant. They're overwhelming. You know, and it's a very emotional experience too. I mean, there's sort of glee getting into the tiny, but then also there are those – it goes in the other direction too. You know, there's sort of the anxiety of suddenly as a kid realizing the universe is gigantic and the sun is tens of millions of miles away. Oh, my goodness. It's just those scale shifts they really move you and they stay with you for a long time. They're sort of formative moments.
Yeah, and we forget that you do have to learn about scale. My 18-month-old grandson recently reminded me that we didn't always understand perspective and scale as he urged me to hoist him up high enough to touch the airplane that he could see. And I thought, oh, yeah, that plane is no bigger than it looks to him, and the distance is not as far as what I know. And that's a cool thing that I've learned over time. And I guess we're always trying to explore that sense of what perspective does. The car didn't grow. It got closer. Mm-hmm. You have to know that not to get scared, sure. Right?
Yeah. Well, when I grew up in the Virginia suburbs of D.C., and so when I would go into the city with my parents, they would sometimes – they would want to go to an art museum, and I would, you know, as a kid, not really want to go to the art museum. So they would leave me at the museum, the National Air and Space Museum. And there's this great film made in the 70s by Charles and Ray Eames called Powers of Ten, which is all about atomic and universal scale. Mm. And it was just playing on a loop in an alcove. I don't even know how many times I watched this film. But it's a tremendous formative moment for me because it starts with a perspective of, you know, the frame is filled with basically a man's hand, you know, lying on the grass in Chicago, and it goes out. From keeping that at the center of your visual field to the end of the known universe at that time, and then goes all the way down into an atom in his hand to the end of the atomic knowledge. And so it was all human knowledge's scale in about a 3.5 minute film. And
no wonder you wanted to watch it over and over.
Yeah. I think I watched it enough that I thought, I think I can exist mentally on all of these scales simultaneously.
Well, and we do. And I think that may be the joy of many. My parents, by the way, would leave me at museums often, but then they would fly back to Buffalo.
So that makes sense.
It was a whole different reason.
They take you back.
But not always. But that's a whole different story. And you have kids actually participating. They've got their stuff on exhibit, right?
Yeah, exactly. My daughter Sadie is a first grader at George Watts Montessori Magnet School. And her class, Miss Brogdon's class, is first, second, and third graders. And so I went in there and we talked about collections. And, of course, every kid in the room had collected something, you know, corks or coins from around the world or this and that. And all the things were tiny. They didn't say, I collect stuffed animals. The stuffed animals, they just stuff they have. But the things that they collect were tiny things. So we looked at some Joseph Cornell images and talked about artists who also have these affinities. And then I held up an egg carton and said, this is not an egg carton. This is a 12-room museum.
Oh, that's
and
great.
You guys are going to curate a show in the 12 rooms of this museum. So they got very excited. They got very busy. And there are there's first grader egg carton, second grader egg carton, third grader egg carton of of little 12-room museums.
What's in there?
Oh, all sorts of great stuff. You know, some of these the aforementioned corks and coins. There are some really weird-looking blue Pez that are in one, and you know the little dog token from the Monopoly game is in there. But also things like beans and shells and other odd stuff from home, found objects. One child's old dog's dog tag. You know, so a precious object. So, but there are precious things, found things, things from the classroom.
Cece, what are some of the other works that you've done in miniature?
Wow. You know, the other thing that I do is I make jewelry from found objects. And so at one point when I was working at a community college, the electronics division said, hey, we're getting ready to throw out this box of stuff. You want to look at it? I was like, oh, no. It was all those electronics parts that I'm sure are way out of date, but tiny resistors and transducers, and I don't even know what they're called.
Yeah.
But so I started making jewelry from found objects. But my other work is on a much larger scale of storefront windows and stage sets, but using that same interest in looking, being drawn to materials because of texture and those close views.
What do you think it is in us that, I mean, on the one hand, you talked about little gears and little parts of things that clearly are part of something else, and we're fascinated by it, particularly if it's displayed in a certain way. But then, yeah, the dog from Monopoly, the tiny car, the thing that is shrunk and in every detail. Why? We really are fascinated with that and can't quite get enough, can we?
I've been thinking about the, you know, the books that are called tiny houses. You know how people are really drawn to things that are itsy bitsy. I mean, like suddenly your kitchen, living room, dining room, and bathroom are all like right on top of each other. I don't know if it is about having some, it's not control, but some sense of unity or everything is manageable.
And at the very least, what it does for us, Chris, don't you think, is that it does force us to think in different from different perspectives so that we're constantly changing the way we look at things. And then hopefully projecting and everything else. Oh, this could be different. Oh, there's a way in which I could see this other and in another way, which I think promotes a lot of creative thinking. And
well, yeah, I think the collection is sort of a practice of critical thinking, really. I mean, you don't start a collection by getting 25 of something. You start a collection with one thing. You find the one object and you say, this object is interesting to me because of these certain characteristics. And then you find another object in that category. You're thinking about category, right? Not just about the object. And you're, but it's different. There's variation within the category. So you're thinking about other characteristics. And then you're even thinking about abstract characteristics. I really want something in this category that exhibits this other characteristic. I'll go looking for that. And it becomes not just a form of thinking, but a form of seeing. I mean, you have these sort of filters in your eyes where, you know, one day the object that you've always been sort of looking for pops out at you. You know, that feeling where you're like, I saw it and I just had to put my hand on it. It comes from this, I think, this impulse to collect and to analyze and to understand variation.
Big ideas about little things. Thank you so much for being on the program. It's great. Great talking with you.
Thanks a lot.
Chris Vitiello, freelance writer and a poet in Durham, curator of Tiny. C.C. Stevens is a Durham-based artist. Her work is featured in Tiny at the Carrick Modern in Durham, which is hosting the exhibit called Tiny Attention Exploded. It's on display from now until May 11th. And that also, I think we have some pictures from that on our website as well. So if you go to WUNC.org, you will be delighted at all of the things, large and small, that you will find there. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.